You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back. Now, this is our third lecture here where we talk about Christ. In our first lecture, we were making a distinction between natural knowledge versus revealed knowledge. Natural knowledge being that which you can observe in creation itself. Revealed knowledge, that which you cannot obtain by just observing creation. Revealed knowledge comes from God telling you specifically about God. They're giving you that knowledge that you cannot just come from your own mind, your own intellect, your own experience. It's God breaking into reality to show you this truth. In our second lecture, when we discussed in more detail revealed knowledge, we talked about how revealed knowledge reveals our Redeemer. So that revealed knowledge is just, it's not just this concept that you have more knowledge than the average person who only has natural knowledge. As if revealed knowledge is only given to you so that you can be the best at a Bible trivia game or some kind of a Bible bowl. But instead, revealed knowledge reveals our Redeemer. Now, in this lecture, we will look at this revealed knowledge that is continuously coming to us in the written word, the instrument, the tool through which the Holy Spirit uses to bring us to the knowledge of salvation. You see, because we are still here on earth and we're pilgrimage here in this wilderness and we continue to wander all over the place, we have that tendency to follow after natural knowledge and to stay in that realm. But it is the Holy Spirit who gives us the gift of His written word so that we can continue to hear the voice of God while we wander in the wilderness, so that we would set our eyes on our Redeemer. The Holy Spirit continues to enlighten us with the revealed knowledge that's given to us in the written scriptures. Now, it's true in the written scriptures that we hear about all these miraculous events, these miracles that testify to the identity of Jesus. Jesus performs these works, these deeds that show forth that He is the one who is coming to restore creation. It is true that these miracles reveal divine truth. Here we have the supernatural breaking into the natural realm. But we must understand that these miracles are always tied to the Word of God. We cannot take these miracles away from the Word of God. In fact, these miracles testify to the veracity of the Word of God. Thus, they are recorded in the written Word of God, so that they would be tied to this Word, the Word that reveals Jesus. In fact, when we look at the written record, we see time and time again where people want some kind of a supernatural event, something spectacular, something out of the ordinary, and then they would believe in God, because then God would reveal Himself to them. Yet we see time and time again, the people who look for a sign stop at the sign. Just like we saw the 5,000 who were fed by Jesus miraculously, well, they wanted the sign, and they wanted another sign. But they didn't want Jesus, the one to which the sign testified, the one to which the sign revealed the truth of God, revealing and giving to us the knowledge of salvation. They saw Jesus and they saw the miracles, but instead of Jesus, they wanted the miracles. You see, this is the problem with our natural mind in the natural realm. We are stuck in the natural realm, but we always have an itch for something supernatural, so that we always go and look for something extraordinary. But it is God who continues to come to us in His written word. the place where the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and in our minds, renewing us in our understanding of who God is and who we are as His fallen creation, that He has come to restore us, to redeem us, and to make all things new. You see, even after the apostles were following Jesus, saw the signs, saw the miracles, even saw the resurrected Christ, they continued to need the revelation of the knowledge of God. But you see, this revelation of the knowledge of God is inscripturated, so that we have this written testimony, this certainty that we can be for sure who God is, what God says, and what God desires of us. So Jesus, after the resurrection, doesn't tell them, stop with the resurrection and just stand here and look at the empty tomb. Instead, He sets their eyes upon the written scriptures of the Old Testament, which reveal the Redeemer. These were written to bring people to the knowledge of salvation in the name of Jesus. Now, in the last chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, we are told of an account of some of the followers of Jesus who were walking on the road to Emmaus, which was outside Jerusalem. After Jesus had been raised from the dead, they had heard the reports about the empty tomb. Yet, here's Jesus standing with them, talking with them, walking with them, and they don't even recognize Him. They had heard about these reports, and now they're discussing these events with Jesus Himself. And again, as they talk and they walk, it is when Jesus then finally reveals Himself to them in the breaking of the bread. And at this point, He begins to open their eyes to see the wonderful things in the Old Testament scriptures that point to Jesus. So in Luke chapter 24, Jesus says this, O foolish ones, O slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. This is Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 27. From this passage, we see how they were unable to understand what was taking place before their own eyes until Jesus revealed it to them. Likewise, we see that they have the written scriptures that reveals the knowledge of salvation, but they were missing the key. The key is Jesus. For the scriptures are not about principles of godly living. That's not the primary purpose. The scriptures are not a manual for how to better live a better life so that you can become a better you. They're not there to reveal these ways of living. Instead, they're there primarily given to us to reveal the way of life, which is Jesus Himself. He is the key to the written scriptures, for they reveal Him, and He reveals now to His disciples the truth of the knowledge of salvation. So in this same chapter, Luke chapter 24, Luke goes on to explain how Jesus stood before the 12 later on, and they too needed Jesus to reveal this knowledge to them. Starting at verse 44, it declares this. Then He said to them, "These are My words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about Me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of the Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Again, in this passage from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49, we see here that Jesus is revealing to them the knowledge of salvation, that in his name there is the forgiveness of sins. He is the key to understanding God's revealed will. God himself revealed in the scriptures is revealed in Jesus. But now this knowledge is not supposed to be kept secret, and that now they're just smarter than other people and they're ready to win any kind of a Bible Bowl trivia competition. Instead, they are entrusted with this divine truth, the knowledge of salvation, Jesus being the key, and they are sent out to reveal this knowledge to others, giving others the key. Now, before the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, he revealed to his disciples about all these things that were about to take place. Before they even happened, he said, these things will take place, the Son of Man must be rejected and suffered and die and on the third day rise. These events in the life of Jesus were no accident. They were all part of the divine plan to secure and win forgiveness, the forgiveness of all of our sins, life and restoration, and the salvation for all mankind. So Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 4, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That's John chapter 14, verses 25 through 26. You see, from this text, we get a glimpse of the divine plan. The Lord knows that the disciples cannot keep his word by their own efforts. The Lord knows that if they were left to themselves, the revealed knowledge would fade from their memories. Because being naturally of flesh and blood, they will have a tendency to gravitate toward natural knowledge and looking for something that's supernatural. But Jesus wants to tie them down to his written word, connect them there, that they would cling to these promises and the certainties of God's revelation in Jesus. Thus, he promises that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, would guide them into keeping all his word. Just as the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove marked and revealed Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Holy Spirit would continue to mark and reveal Jesus to the disciples, that they may reveal Jesus to many others. Both the Father and the Son will send the Holy Spirit. Jesus says again in John chapter 15, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. This is John 15, verses 26 through 27. As the Father sent the Son into the world, the Holy Spirit will be sent to the disciples. As Jesus came to proclaim salvation in his name, the apostles would be sent out to proclaim the knowledge of salvation in the name of Jesus, so that the Holy Spirit marks and reveals Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Father reveals Jesus in the Jordan River and on the Mount of Transfiguration, that this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And this revelation, the apostles will now take out to the ends of the earth. They would be given the words of Jesus to proclaim to all people, revealing this knowledge. The same word that Jesus spoke, which gave life, would be the same word that he speaks, giving renewed life. The apostles would be sent out with the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to all people, so that when the nations hear the voice of the apostles, they hear the very voice of God. When they receive the revealed knowledge from the mouth of the apostles, they are receiving the revealed knowledge from the mouth of God. So Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, "The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." That's Luke chapter 10, verse 16. So here we have the apostles sent out to speak the very word of God, to reveal to us this knowledge that we cannot obtain by natural observation or investigation. Instead, this is the word that God has given to reveal life, salvation, the forgiveness of sins. And it comes from this instrumental means of the apostles in their teaching. In John chapter 13, Jesus said this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." That's John chapter 13, verse 20. Thus, the revealed knowledge that Jesus brought to the apostles would be brought to the ends of the earth. They would go out and reveal the knowledge of salvation through the words they spoke. They would begin in Jerusalem, spread this revealed knowledge to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They would take the words of Jesus to the Jewish people in the synagogues and then to the Gentiles throughout the cities of the Roman Empire. After the resurrection of our Lord, the apostles were sent out to spread this revealed knowledge. And so in John's Gospel, it closes with these words. In chapter 20, beginning there at verse 19, Jesus says this to his apostles he will send out, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw Jesus. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." This is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. Here we understand that the Holy Spirit would be with these apostles in this office that Jesus institutes to proclaim the gospel. In this office, the words of Jesus are to be spoken to all people. These men were entrusted with these words, which give life, salvation, and the forgiveness of sins. And then later on, the successors of the apostles will continue to proclaim this same message, the message of salvation, revealing this truth to us that we could not have any other way. But again, the goal of this revelation is not so that we're smarter than the average person, but instead that we would have salvation, for there is no salvation except in the name of Jesus. There is no forgiveness except in the name of Jesus. So the apostles are sent out to proclaim this wonderful news. In the last chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the apostles are told to make more followers of Jesus. Specifically, that is, students of Jesus, hearers of Jesus, those who continue to hear, listening to his voice, and continue to learn to believe. So Matthew chapter 28 states it this way. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now this is Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. The apostles were told to teach these new disciples everything that Jesus had said. They were to go and make new students, that is, new hearers of the Word of God, new receivers of the revelation of salvation found only in Jesus. They were to make disciples. Previously, we learned that Jesus promised the gift of the Holy Spirit, who would bring to their memories all that Jesus had said. It is the Holy Spirit that would reveal to the apostles the words of Jesus. Likewise, the Holy Spirit would use the words of the apostles to reveal Jesus to all people. Jesus sends out these apostles so that we may know where to find forgiveness, where to find a merciful God. Now, Jesus originally chose 12, and these 12 apostles included Judas Iscariot, but he betrayed our Lord and then committed suicide. Thus, after the resurrection and ascension of our Lord, there were only 11 apostles. Now, in the first chapter of the book of Acts, we are told that the disciples prayed to the Lord that he would choose another man among them whom had also seen all the signs of Jesus, testifying to who he is, and had also heard the words of Jesus. It was the Lord of the harvest who chose Matthias to be numbered with the 11. In addition, in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, we are told that the Lord chose Saul of Tarsus to be an apostle who would specifically be sent to the Gentiles to reveal the knowledge of salvation to them, so that you would have this knowledge given to both Jews and the Goyim, the ethnos, everybody else, so all of humanity would be given the gift of this revelation, that in Jesus alone there is salvation, that God and sinner are reconciled. The Creator and fallen creation have come together again in this restoration found only in Jesus. It is Paul who will be chosen specifically to go and proclaim this message to all the Goyim, the Gentiles. Saul was his former name as a Jewish rabbi, but take note that he formerly had persecuted the church because he did not know the knowledge of salvation. It had not been revealed to him. It was Saul who wanted to destroy the church, but it was the Lord who came to Saul, revealing himself to Saul, the rabbi, and renaming him Paul, now sending him out as an apostle. The ascended Lord then informed him as a disciple that he is now to continue to listen to him, and he then speaks to him, telling him to go to another disciple by the name of Ananias. In Acts chapter 9, Jesus told Ananias this. He then reveals this truth to Ananias, that this man, Saul, the rabbi, has now been converted to the faith. And so Jesus tells Ananias, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." That's Acts chapter 9, verses 15 through 16. Thus, Paul is to be numbered with the apostles, those who have been sent out by the Lord to reveal the knowledge of salvation. In the book of Acts, we are told of the signs and the wonders that the Holy Spirit did through the apostles as they spoke the word of God. And just as Jesus revealed who he was by what he said and by what he did, so too the apostles revealed who Jesus is by what they spoke and also what they did. They proclaimed the revealed knowledge that in the name of Jesus there is eternal life. The apostles were truly theologians who taught about God and divine things. They were chosen instruments of the Lord to bring to light the knowledge of salvation. The apostles proclaimed the gospel vocally and verbally in person in those days. But even in those days, they also do this in a written form, so that those who hear them in their presence, vocally and verbally, can also hear them speak when they are not present, and be certain of the knowledge of salvation. So that the Lord gives this wonderful gift of His written word for posterity's sake, so that even down the ages, we who have not seen all of these miracles that reveal these divine realities, we have the written word that reveals to us the truth by the Holy Spirit, who spoke by the prophets of old, who spoke by the apostles, and now speaks to us in the written word. The same Holy Spirit that was with their mouths that they would proclaim divine truth is the same Holy Spirit that works in our hearts to enlighten us with the divine truth that has been inscripturated. So that you see, as the apostles go and they speak, they also write. Paul goes to Corinth, he speaks. Paul also writes to Corinth. In his first letter to the Christians in Corinth, he writes this in chapter 1. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debtor of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Here the Apostle Paul comes to give to us the wisdom of God, which is in contradistinction to the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world is stuck in natural knowledge. The wisdom of God is given to us in this revealed knowledge. The Lord chose the apostles to bring this truth to us in their vocal words in those days and in their written word in our day. It's the same Holy Spirit that was at work with them then who is now at work with us as we listen to them. The Lord gives to us the gift of this written word, so that we would not be caught up in the wisdom of the world, but rather in the wisdom of God. That we would not be stuck in natural knowledge taught by human wisdom and the spirit of the age, but taught by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, who wants us to continue to listen to His voice and set our eyes upon our Redeemer.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer Jesus Christ continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.